Welcome to Super Tatis for Parshas Chayisara. We will work backwards today. Let's start with the thinking question. And we have in Chav Dalet Lamed Beis Vivtach HaGemalim, we see that all of the Gemalim, Hitir Zamam Shalahem, they undid their muzzles. So why is it that they undid their muzzles? Rashi says, well, they didn't want Gezel. So now they could undo the muzzles so they could eat. So the question is, we have a precedent from Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair that his chomor wouldn't eat anything that was inappropriate, and it already had adhered to all of these halachos and was very sensitive like that. Why wouldn't Avram Avinu's be sensitive? Next three stories. These are all about how much we need to care about theft. So there's a story about Chafetz Chaim was getting on a train, and when he was giving his ticket for admission to the train, he didn't give one ticket, but he gave two tickets. Well, why is he giving two tickets? So somebody asked him, he said, look, the truth is, according to your, according to your rules, I know you don't enforce them, but according to your rules, you know, you're supposed to have a bag which is supposed to be a certain amount of weight, and just by my carrying this, I guess that my bag is more than that weight, so I paid double. I paid for two tickets, so I could cover that weight from my bag. Second one is in a place called Peterburg. There was a meeting of Rabbanim, and the Chafetz Chaim was there. So a second Chafetz Chaim story, and the Chafetz Chaim gathered there in a hotel or an inn or whatever it was to be able to be with this gathering of Rabbanim. And in that very same inn was Lubavitcher Rebbe, who was the Admor HaZaken. So the Chafetz Chaim needed some paper to write down some chidushim or something, and he asked the Admor, and the Admor surely offered him the paper. He said, I insist on paying. And there was a back and forth. No, I insist you have it. I insist on paying. Finally, they agreed. I'll pay you two prutos. Okay, I'll pay you two prutos. So at the end of it, kind of, you know, the Admor looks at him and says, Fodor Rav, like, why did we make such a tumult off? Are you giving me, you know, two prutos at the end of it? And his response was, you know, for two prutos of Gezel, you can create a Malach Chabala that can destroy the entire town of Peterburg. Now, I don't think that he thought that he was stealing necessarily, because it was clear that the Admor wanted to give it to him. Nevertheless, I think that the idea that we have the Mida, that in order to avoid stealing, we want to pay for the things that we get, that's probably the sentiment here. The sentiment is that we want to make sure that we pay for things, and not only that, there's an additional mila of Sona Matanos Yichya. That's not stated in the story, but generally, you know, we don't look for gifts in life. Third story is Revelvel Soloveitchik the Grizz. When he was ill, was in the hospital, needed to get some x-rays or whatever it was, and he was weak. So as he was moving around, he had to stop for a moment to catch his breath, and he had a chiddush that he wanted to write down. So he turned to the doctor and he said, is there a chance for me to get a little paper for me to write down, you know, an idea? And the doctor, of course, obliged and gave him the paper. And then Revelvel stopped and said, wait a minute, hold on. Is that paper the hospital's or yours? Because if it's the hospital's, I don't want it, because maybe they didn't give you permission to give me the paper. And the doctor assured him that it was the doctor's. So therefore, Revelvel accepted the paper and was willing to get and move on and write his chidushim. On to some Divrei Torah. Okay, on to a couple nice Musar ideas from the Parsha. So in Chavdad Lamed Tes, Vayomer El Adoni, Ulai Lo Seilecha Isha Acharai. So this is Eliezer saying that maybe the potential wife is not going to come. It says Eli, so he had a daughter. Eliezer had a daughter, Rashi explains. And he
was looking to see, he seemed to have a little bit of an excuse, right, to see whether or not this girl was good, because he wanted his daughter to marry Yitzchak. So it's known. Why is it that Eliezer wanted to marry Yitzchak off to his daughter, or his daughter off to Yitzchak, in the psukim, where he's saying, to Rivka's family, what had happened? Doesn't it make more sense, to go ahead and mention it earlier when Eliezer is speaking to Avraham, right? All the way back in Pasuk Hey, right? There, he could have said that to the Merames. So the Kutzker, explains as follows. He said, you know, when something happens, and we have an egus, we have our own, sort of, our own bias, our own preference, our own, you know, our own investment in the matter. In those sorts of instances, we don't see it when it's happening. We can only understand it post facto. We can only appreciate and understand it later. So therefore, what that means is it's being Rami's to us that, I guess we need to understand and appreciate that we don't only want to be able to see our negus retroactively, we want to be able to see it prospectively as well. Next, on to Pasuk Nunbeis in Perek Chaf Dalet. So when Eliezer heard what he saw, he bows down to Hashem, and Rashi says, Vishtachu Arza, Mikansha Modim Abasaratova. So here we're Moda, we will bow down for good news. So all the Mefarshi Rashi asked the following question, or so it seems. Did it not say already in Pasuk Chavav, Vikod Ha'ish Vishtachu Lashem? So why didn't Rashi mention it there? So, and there's a big question in light of Rashi's source in Medrash Rabbah, because that source actually uses the early pasuk. So the Mizrahi answers this question, and he says, really, Rashi's girsa is better, and it could be that the girsa that we have of the Medrash Rabbah is actually incorrect, because above, we shouldn't darshan the words Mikan Shemurdin al Besura Tova, when he's just speaking with Rivka. The Besura hadn't happened, and he hadn't heard from the family that they would agree to the Shidduch. It's only after the Shidduch that that is in Pasuk Nun Aleph, the immediately preceding Pasuk, that you should bow down, because then you have the Besura Tova, then you should bow. So the Divrei David, the Taz, takes a different approach. His approach is that we can't learn from the first instance all the way back in Pasuk Chavav, because there it's not a limud l'rabim, it was just a limud l'yochid. It was just for an individual. Okay, so now on to another Rashi Kasha. When right at the beginning, when we record the fact that Sarah died at 127, Rashi says that, you know, she was as beautiful as a 7-year-old. So Shlomo Amalek tells us that Sheker Achein Vehevel Ayofi, that beauty is frivolity. So then why is it so important for us to have Rashi communicate to us that she was beautiful? So approach number one is that Sarah's actual beauty was special and worthy of noting as part of her general excellence, meaning there was a broader thing that she was an excellent person and she had it all, including beauty. So Chizkuni notes that Sarah was remarkable and that she was naturally beautiful without having to adorn herself with jewelry or makeup. The Riva says that Sarimena was beautiful despite the fact that in such early generations, women would give birth at a young age such as 7. So she was beautiful at such an age. Rabbeinu Bechaya says that Sarah's notable beauty was that she continued to grow in beauty in adulthood, similar to that of a child that is developing. So that's Mahalik number one. The second Mahalik is that Sarah's physical beauty is not worthy of praise at all in its own right, but it teaches other reasons why she should be praised. So, for example, the Gur Aryeh says that beauty is relevant to show that Sarah was a complete person with harmony between her body and her soul. Her beauty was a supernatural beauty, similar to Moshe Rabbeinu, whose eyes never dimmed, revealing who she was and how special she was. Similarly, the Ayalas HaShachar and Das Torah and Sum Derech all say that beauty can show the true essence of a person. So if that's true, it's showing the true essence that she is a beautiful person. The Das Torah adds that this is a characteristic this characteristic of beauty was functionally a result of Sarah's ruchnius and not simply a physical characteristic. So Ayelet HaShachar also suggests that perhaps Sarah's beauty came as a reward for her tzidkus, so that she, the praise of beauty is functionally an acknowledgement of her righteousness. Conversely, the Oznaim LaTorah suggests that Sarah should be praised for her being righteous despite her beauty. Beauty is a test, as it was for Yosef. Beauty can boost one's ego and become an impediment to humility. And when we learn that in the Torah that Sarah was righteous and beautiful, we can appreciate her greatness even more. Additionally, Or Torah notes that is recited in Sefer Rabbi Bloom's Sefer Prachei Rashi, notes that Sarah was beautiful like a 7-year-old and that she did not let the beauty get to her head. She was just oblivious to it. Unlike many more mature women, when you get older, sometimes beauty can get to your head or other things. And the Taz, the Divrei David, notes that her beauty was notable and that she didn't do any averas as a result of her beauty, even though others did. So just one additional thought on this, and we'll leave it there, a little tzeila derech, is based on all of these comments, how would you explain then the Gemara in Ksubos, where you say, Barakdin lifnei hakala, and we say, kala na v'chasuda, you say that a kala is beautiful and righteous. What would be the point, based on all of this, to say that a kala is beautiful? Thank you for learning with me. Have a wonderful Shabbos.